DJMCloud.com podcast. Episode 29, recorded April 2nd, 2012.
Mentioned the story that was retracted.
Well, they didn't retract it. That's the thing, is that they explained the parts that they that the fact checking failed on and various other things. And it's really that guy's fault. And
Mike Daisy.
Yeah, it's clear that
Apple haters will believe and repeat the worst stories they hear about the company. And even when they hear that the stories that they're hearing from someone like Mike Daisy on the This American Life show on NPR has been retracted. Even when This American Life issues a follow-up episode to the Apple demonizing episode starring Mike Daisy and calls it retraction, people like Bradley Kuhn from that earlier clip will still say they didn't retract it. There are people who, even in the light of evidence, will not change the opinions about facts that they have about Apple. Not their opinions about values or judgment or whatever moral judgment they want to bring on it. We're talking about people having opinions about what the facts are, which I think is actually disturbingly common in America these days. But I do think that working conditions in factories around the world need to be improved and examined. I think that's true about American factories as well as Chinese factories. And I think that Apple is more proactive than a lot of corporations in trying to improve the labor situation in other countries where they're products are made. That isn't to say that Apple is doing everything right, and it isn't to say that they need to. That isn't to say that there is a need for them to do more as a leader in the technology sector. But the agenda and the consistent belief, even in the face of evidence, about stories and tales about Apple's misdeeds. It's really extraordinary. We have this segment of the technology world that just looks for reasons to denigrate Apple and Apple users. It isn't really something that matters much to Apple users, but I think people waste a lot of their time thinking in that way, and that includes Bradley Kuhn from that podcast that I clipped. You can find that podcast at faif.us. And I have one more clip right here. This is from the No Agenda podcast.
I think he was being very disingenuous once I read where this legislation actually is. And I want to share that with you because, you know, it's a very Republican thing to say that this was bad and, you know, we have no agenda. But I think that there was something that he was not saying or lying about it'll be good for you to know.
Well, I found this clip a little bit amusing because here we hear Adam Curry just saying that he has no agenda. So apparently the fact that he even preemptively brought up that he was going to be making Republican arguments doesn't have any bearing because as he proclaims himself, he has no agenda. Another laughable claim. What I thought was funny is that if you go back to DJM Cloud podcast number 18, I actually clipped his partner in the podcast, John C. Dvorak, saying something very similar.
Thank you. All of us in public radio stand together. And I have friends and colleagues on lots of other shows who, like us here at This American Life, work hard to do accurate, independent reporting week in, week out. I and my coworkers here at This American Life, we are not happy to have done anything to hurt the reputation of the journalism that happens on this radio station every day.
Well, Ira Glass isn't happy to have hurt the reputation of NPR's journalism, because it's not a very good reputation anyway. It's not the high quality outfit that he claims it is. And I think you can look at the blog post that I linked to in the show notes and see what they're saying about Greece, to see another example of the lousy work that you will often see out of NPR. And then they go and ask people for money, and they also take advertising. They call it other things, but it's sold to advertisers as a competitive product to other advertising buys. And so you have a organization that's partly controlled by the government and partly controlled by enormous advertisers. A lot of them are like mass agricultural companies like Archer Daniels Midland and enormous foundations controlled by the super rich. I think that NPR is such junk, and I think that maybe this incident will alert a lot more people to that, and they're obviously not very happy to consider that possibility over at NPR. Well, if you want to check the show notes, you can check djmcloud.com and then look for Podcast 29, and I put links and descriptions of the show in the show notes. You know, one of the reasons I do show notes, other than I want to offer links to listeners so you can go and you can see what different apps or blog posts or podcasts that I'm talking about, or whatever I happen to be talking about that episode, so it can be kind of a companion on the web to the audio on the podcast. But there's another reason. You want people to be able to find your podcast if you talked about a subject that they might be interested in. If you put it on the web, the MP3 sitting there on the web in the podcast feed is good if people are expecting to listen to it. But if people want to hear you talk about something because they are interested in that specific subject that you talked about once or twice, it helps to be able to be found when people search. And search is really still all about text. So if you leave decent show notes, then you at least open the possibility that people can search for your podcast and then click on the link to listen to it if they decide to. Podcast number 29. This half of the podcast is being recorded a little bit later. It's April 4th, 2012. Well, I have a theme that I actually mentioned on the previous podcast called Grand Fork. It's a theme for WordPress. I put it on GitHub, and now it's available for download at the website djmcloud.danieljmckeown.com/grandfork. And you can also find it on GitHub. My username on GitHub is Pacific Pelican. I put it online because it's free and open source. And GitHub is, while it's not, I think WordPress still uses Subversion for its servers, at least it did last time I checked. GitHub is just become a really popular tool for managing code. Recently, the PHP project put itself on there. So I want people to be able to find my free theme and use it and fork it and make their own versions as well. I didn't really make too many changes to it in the most recent version that came out since I mentioned it on the podcast, but one of the features I added was a left side widgetized sidebar. Now, you know, in WordPress and blogging tools, in order to make themes easy, user-friendly to a number of different potential users, they offer widgets, which are arbitrary bits of text or code, or specific widgets that offer functionality like RSS feeds or a search box. And these widgets can be arranged by where the theme sidebars are placed. So I tried to the theme has fixed dimensions, but I tried to take advantage of that by giving a good robust right sidebar, and then a left side sidebar, and then a sidebar, actually like a widgetized area below the content. And I see that as an area that people can put comment widget tools in, like discuss, because the blog theme itself doesn't really support comments. I have tried the new Gabe Angry Bird space, and I think it's a pretty cool twist on the Angry Birds formula. I mean, you're still flinging cartoon birds at animated pigs, but it's a game that uses a kind of physics that involves planets and moons and orbits. It's a pretty cool game. I do like some of the Angry Birds franchises, and we've discussed them in previous podcasts. The one I like previous to this, I think the Angry Birds Rio game was pretty cool, and it kind of expanded the formula a bit. Whereas I like the original Angry Birds better than Angry Birds Seasons, personally. Well, these are popular games. I know a lot of people are trying them. I had an app for iOS that actually allows users to listen to music with the normal iPhone music app, but then have the songs sent, the song information sent to Last.fm. So for those people that are users of Last.fm, and I'm one that's started using it again lately a little more, This app called Cloud Scrub is pretty cool because you can just get your list updated by just opening that app every once in a while. It checks your listen count. Another app that I've been using lately is Readability. This app allows you to save web pages, articles, and then read them on the app. It has browser plugins and a lot of tools that it plugs into tools like Reader. You're listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast with me, Daniel J. McKeown. If you want to see links to the apps that I've mentioned, check out the show notes. You can go to the website at DJMCloud.com and look for podcast 29. And the post will have the links and show notes. And the app that I mentioned before the break, Readability, I think is worth a second look. This app is in a very competitive space right now, but there's three major competitors in this space. Now, the idea behind these apps is that, well, I don't know, they all came from different directions. Readability started as a browser plugin that's very similar to what's actually in Apple's Safari now, that Apple calls, I think, Reader, that button on the right that comes up on longer articles that makes the article easier to read. Readability started as a browser plugin, and they expanded to allowing people to save articles to their reading list, I think. And then the most recent development was that they have an app now and works on the iPhone. I think there's an iPad version. Now it's free. They have an option to give money. They say to publishers, but this has become a very controversial topic. Readability will take money and say that 70% of that money will go to publishers, but I have read that publishers need to sign up proactively with them. People like John Gruber of the blog DaringFireball.net are throwing around some aspersions on the people behind Readability. I tend to think that this act of trying to take money on behalf of publishers, while radical and strange, is proactive and maybe ultimately innovative in the space of trying to compensate people for what they write on the web. Especially the 99% of bloggers that don't have the kind of traffic numbers that someone like John Gruber does. But I haven't seen this whole story play out completely yet because it's still being talked about intensely, and there's still a lot of debate and a lot of different views coming out about this. Of course, some of the views are coming from the competitors. So I think just to mention the two other major players in this space right now, there's Read It Later. And this app allows users to save articles using tools like Flipboard, and there's some third-party browser plugins that do it. And then when users save articles with Read It Later, they're available in the Read It Later app, which is a pay app. I think it works for iPhone and iPad, and it was $3 recently, although it might be, they might say its regular price is $5. And these app prices do change after all. So they're in a space where they're charging for the app, but then the service of storing the articles and syncing them to your device is free. The third just comparing Readability and Read It Later, I think they're both very good-looking, very well-designed apps. I think that for the pure reading experience, Readability does have a good selection of fonts. They have a nice look to the app. But I have been very satisfied with Read It Later while I've been trying that also. And to be fair, they connect into different services. Reader will connect to both of them, but there are apps like Flipboard that will only connect to Read It Later, or the third company in the space, which I think I want to mention now, Instapaper, and that's another one that I haven't tried, but that's another popular Reading Later app that a lot of people are using. Now, I've been trying on the Mac, I've tried Adobe Photoshop CS6 because for a limited time it's in beta that can be tried free. And I think it looks kind of cool, but a lot of it's the same from CS5. And I really like Pixelmator too. I mentioned that in episode 12. Well, you've been listening to the DJMCloud.com podcast, episode number 29. If you want to find out more, you can go to my website, pacificpelican.us. All right. Have a great day out there.